Good evening, my friends. Good evening and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan, and very excited to have you with us here tonight. It's Wednesday, April 4th, 2007, 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone, and I'm glad you're around. Now, we've got two guests joining us. They'll be with us right after the break. We'll talk about that in just a second. First things first, welcome to all of you listening online at frequency 3.215. That's not online. That's on shortwave dial. Online is republicbroadcasting.org, and maybe you're listening at our website, franklyspeakingradio.com, in which case you can click on some links available to see what our guests have been up to. Now, there are two of them here, Philip Darrell Collins and Paul David Collins, obviously brothers, and they have written a book called The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. They're also responsible for a number of fantastic articles, all of which you can find at conspiracyarchive.com under the commentary section. And I would urge you to read them because they are phenomenal pieces of work. And, you know, there's certainly quite a bit to discuss. But we're going to talk about technology. We're going to talk about surveillance. We're going to talk about a great many things with these guys. And I think it's going to be a very enlightening experience. Now, be aware of the phone number because you may have questions of your own, and I'm sure you do. It's 800-313-9443. Toll free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. So here we are Wednesday midweek, and it's been a pretty chaotic day in terms of the weather. Now, maybe you've been paying attention, maybe you have not. But in essence, I think on the Weather Channel today, they were saying that they had over 500 reports of severe weather outbreaks in places all over the country. Just a mess, honestly. They had some straight-line wind damage. I think it was in Georgia. Sliced a chunk right through this house. Completely divided the house in half. I couldn't tell, you know, its perspective from a helicopter shot, but basically it looked like it was probably about, you know, anywhere 4 to 6 feet wide, just a big rip right through the middle of this house. And you know, the two halves were still there. So just a bizarre sort of thing when you think about straight-line winds. You don't think of them being quite like that, but here it is. Microbursts, mini tornadoes, whatever you want to call it. This thing was apparently a doozy. So we hope everybody's okay there, and certainly we had a lot of problems here. In Arkansas as well, there's lots of hail all over the country. It's a crazy, crazy time, my friends. We were in probably 70s and 80s for the last 2 weeks. No rain whatsoever, even though there was a threat of rain periodically. And it's supposed to be about 30 degrees tonight. And every night this week, actually for the remainder of the week, it's going to even get down to the 20s. That's before the wind chill. So it's certainly quite a turnaround. I think they got some snow in Michigan, other places as well. It's going to be a very traumatic year, I think. They're actually releasing some of the hurricane predictions for this forthcoming hurricane season, and it looks like they're predicting a big one. That may or may not happen. And, of course, if they're going to predict a big one, everyone says you predicted a big one last year, and you predicted a small one in 2005, and it just goes on and on and on to really indicate that they have no freaking clue. I mean, if your weatherman in your hometown cannot predict your weather 12 hours in advance, how can you expect these experts, these scientists, relying on technology to be able to come up with a forecast, you know, 6 months in advance? Just doesn't seem likely, especially because they can't really account for why we had a relatively tame hurricane season last year. So it is what it is. It may be big. It may not be big. But again, folks, I urge you to take all the necessary steps to prepare yourself for anything. That's really the important thing. I mean, the information is vital. You have to have the information because you have to know how to act, meaning what decisions do you make? You want the information available to you before you decide what you may or may not need for your home and for your family. But at the same time, we've always been very cognizant of the whole element of survival. And I don't mean simply jumping out of an airplane into the woods with a knife in your teeth and living for the rest of your life. I'm not talking about that kind of survival. Just simply having the things you need to have the continuation of this life that you presumably enjoy. But anyway, we'll discuss some technological innovations with our guests when we come back here in 3 minutes, folks. Philip Darrell Collins, Paul David Collins, more Frankly Speaking Radio, 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Good evening, folks. Welcome back. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Thrilled you're here. Thrilled I'm here. Thrilled our guests are here. Very pleased to introduce you to the authors of the book, The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. And, of course, as I mentioned, numerous articles that you can read by these guys available at www.conspiracyarchive.com under the commentary section. Please welcome to the program Philip Darrow Collins, Paul David Collins. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you for having us. Thanks, Frank.
It's an honor, and I certainly appreciate you guys both taking time to be here tonight. There's a lot of material to cover. Obviously, you know this. You've written a whole book about it. You've written many articles about it. And where would you like to start? I guess I would suggest maybe describing what is the scientific dictatorship.
Sure. Well, basically, scientific dictatorship was a term that was coined by Aldous Huxley in Brave New World Revisited. Now, he, of course, gave a fictitious depiction of the scientific dictatorship in Brave New World. Mm-hmm. But in Brave New World Revisited, he basically examined more closely what the concept was that he offered mm-hmm. of a fictitious depiction of. And basically, a scientific dictatorship is, I'll let Aldous Huxley do the talking for me. He pretty much sums it up rather well. He said, quote, "The older dictators fell because they could never supply their subjects with enough bread, enough circuses, enough miracles, and mysteries. Under a scientific dictatorship, education will really work, with the result that most men and women will grow up to love their servitude and will never dream of revolution. There seems to be no good reason why a thoroughly scientific dictatorship should ever be overthrown. Unquote. What basically a scientific dictatorship is in essence a technocracy. That is, it's a rule by policy professionals, by scientists, by engineers. It's premised upon the religion of scientism. Basically, the religion of scientism holds that science and the investigational methods of the physical sciences should be universally imposed upon all fields of inquiry. Now, of course, living in this chronocentric day and age that we live in, we, of course, come to associate science with everything that's good, and we would feel that, you know, such a universal imposition of science would be favorable. However, science is largely a system of quantification, and thus it must occupy itself predominantly with quantifiable entities. So anything that's not quantifiably demonstrable, anything that does not fit the yardstick of science, must be precluded. Now, this includes questions of human dignity, of liberty, and what have you. And so thus we have, throughout the ages, throughout the last 20th century, the scientific dictatorships of, for instance, communist Russia and Nazi Germany, which were largely premised upon Darwinian evolution and other sciences. We have these totalitarian regimes that completely and totally exclude human dignity and liberty from the equation. And so, basically, the scientific dictatorship tries to run off of the principles of efficiency, what's efficient, what serves the state, and basically runs off the principles of a cognitive elite, whoever the mature minds are, whoever these people are that are cognitively superior to the rest, basically act as the ruling, as, well, kind of like an ersatz priesthood, determining what is true, what is right, what is moral, what is just, and also basically governing according to their own professional expertise, and basically rule by policy professionals, or a technocracy.
There was a writer back in the last century named Carol Quigley, who could be best characterized as the archival curator of the power elite, and he wrote a book entitled Tragedy and Hope. And in that book, he gave kind of a picture of what the what a global scientific dictatorship would look like, when he said that basically the professionals would replace the democratic voter in the booth, because as Phil stated, scientism excludes things that aren't quantifiable, and one thing that's not quantifiable is Jeffersonian democracy. So basically, what we will have is several cults of expertise managing society and manipulating social change, as opposed to any kind of democratic institutions where the people have a say in how they're governed. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting that you'd bring that up. I believe it was the acceptance speech for the Democratic Party when Bill Clinton spoke. He referenced Carol Quigley and mentioned about how that was sort of his sort of guidepost, I guess, to his policy. I mean, that in and of itself should terrify people once, you know, they understand what you've just said here about how Carol Quigley was all about these things. And here you've got a you know, future leader coming into office, basically, or about to embark on the process, and basically say, "Hey, look, this is what governs me. This is what motivates me. This is what drives me." So, you know, a little peek of what we had in store, I guess, but prior to that whole thing. But this has been a nonstop agenda. This thing has always been moving forward, has it not?
Yes, absolutely. As we state at the beginning of the book, it's largely been a continuity of thought. It's not been a monolithic, unerring conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
What it's been is several conspiratorial circles, secret societies, what have you, basically promulgate certain ideas, certain concepts, and other groups, other individuals, oligarchs, other organizations will basically pick those ideas up and maintain a seamless continuity of thought. Now, of course, they will give their own little spin to the ideas. They'll refine the ideas or kind of modify them to suit whatever sort of cultural predispositions they have, what have you. But it's largely a continuity of thought. To give you an example, as Paul previously mentioned, Carol Quigley followed the British Roundtable organization, the British Roundtable groups, which, of course, founded the Royal Institute of International Affairs. The Royal Institute for International Affairs went on to form a stateside branch here in the United States known as the Council on Foreign Relations, which is basically a cult of expertise. It's another policy professional cult because it acts as the chief foreign policy cartel for mm-hmm. the United States. It arbitrates on behalf of the United States on foreign policy issues. But the CFR's vision and its members' visions have slightly shifted away from the vision of, say, the roundtable groups in their inception. In the inception of the roundtable groups, you had more of a vision that was synchronizing with Cecil Rhodes, who wanted to see a British-ruled world government. Mm. Now, under the CFR patronage, and largely in conjunction with the United Nations, you have more of what's known as a Pax Universalis instead of a Pax Britannia.
Mm.
And this is more of a global government with just an overall broad, overarching, supranational elite that's not exclusively British, although it will probably be more so still Anglophile in character.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have it with the neoconservatives. The neoconservatives don't have so much a Pax Universalis or a Pax Britannia in mind so much as they do a Pax Americana, a unilaterally initiated world government under the spearheaded by the United States.
Wow. Well, it's interesting, too, because as you had mentioned, the idea of a perfect sort of technocracy would require certain advancements to be made. And now, you just look around and you see cell phones that are basically pocket computers. You see certainly every element of society under surveillance. You see every element of society under control, being tracked. Everything is digitized. Everything is traceable, trackable in some capacity. So, in essence, this is probably, and comment on this, please, this is probably the first time that they've been able to achieve a sort of saturation of technology into the consumer's hands where they can really implement this technocracy.
To a certain extent, yes, very much so. In fact, the power elite, to a certain extent, have a very esoteric occult view of technology.
Wow.
Technology for them, well, according to the now deceased Malachi Martin, who was a Vatican insider, the Italian humanist who co-opted operative Freemasonry and transformed it into speculative Freemasonry reconceptualized the Gnostic concept of Gnosis, and their Gnosis constituted what was called what could be characterized as, quote, a secret knowledge of how to master the blind forces of nature for sociopolitical purposes, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And the science and technology basically comprise a portion of that secret knowledge that Masonry directed towards the ultimate sociopolitical objective of basically resculpting reality along their own, the contours of their own designs.
Wow.
And
let
today,
me, I'm sorry, if I can jump in here quickly.
Sure.
Folks, we have a short break to contend with here. Only 3 minutes. Stay with us. We're back with more Frankly Speaking Radio after this.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars.
For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. And what can I say? We have two guys with us here this evening who are just absolutely brilliant. I encourage all of you to read their articles and to read this book, which I'm referring to right now, The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. Please welcome back to the show Philip Collins and Paul Collins. Welcome back, gentlemen, and thank you.
Thank you.
I'm enjoying it very much, and I've learned a lot from your writings. Both of you have served to enlighten me and fill in a lot of gaps. You know, I've looked at all this stuff, as much as I can, certainly, in the course of the show and whatnot. But, you know, there's always going to be questions. And you guys have filled in a lot of the motivations, I think, behind the agenda. And that's kind of where we left off, too. We were talking about sort of the occultic agenda as far as this whole thing goes.
Sure. Well, it's largely the way that the power elite views technology. As I mentioned before, they view it more in an occult fashion than the average individual. Mm. One of the reasons being is that the power elite are neo-Gnostics. They're new Gnostics. Gnosticism basically views Gnosis, or human knowledge, as the chief facilitator for humanity's salvation.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe in salvation through a transcendent God as Christians do. Mm-hmm. Christians see that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation,
Amen.
Whereas the Gnostics, which basically tried to co-opt Christianity and were part of an early Christian heresy, grafting on the old Mesopotamian mystery religions from 6,000 years ago from Egypt and Babylon onto Christianity. What they basically did was they mixed in a strain of that old anthropocentric religion. And by anthropocentric, I mean it was man-centered. It basically emphasized the dictum of Protagoras, that man is the measure of all things. And, of course, this reiterates an older whisper that was heard way, way back in man's murky past in the Garden of Eden from the serpent itself when it said, "Ye shall be as gods." And it comes as a little surprise that in a Gnostic, ancient Gnostic text called the Hypostasis of the Archons, the ancient Egyptian Gnostic text, it basically revered the serpent as a liberator of man, and caricatured Jehovah, God, as an archon of arrogance. But long way around the barn, so basically what the power elite of today, the contemporary power elite of today, are neo-Gnostics, and they view technology as basically part and parcel of man's powers of self-salvation, and basically one of the ways by which he'll achieve apotheosis or become God. Now you see the potential for technology's application in such an occult fashion, just in its etymology itself. You take apart the word technology, you get the word techne, which means craft, and of course craft is associated with witchcraft or Wicca. And from the term Wicca, we also derive the term wicker. And the word wicker, amongst one of its many connotations, is to bend, as in the bending of reality.
Oh.
And so you basically can use technology, techne, to actually re-sculpt reality, or at least that's what their occult view of technology holds. Affirm what I'm saying, high priest, this is a common strain of thought in most occultism, the deceased high priest of the Temple of Satan, Anton LaVey, referred to technology as sorcery, a rather ineffectual form of sorcery, he contended, but a form of sorcery nonetheless. And so basically, That's what nowadays these agendas to basically through technology to basically create a surveillance society and run society under the ever watchful eye of technologically augmented forms of surveillance. That's really an outgrowth of an occult belief.
Wow. That's fascinating, and it's intriguing too, because I think, Paul, did you want to comment on that?
Phil pretty much hit it in the nail right on the head. sometimes semiotically, this occult agenda actually comes out in our modern day, and the best example would be the now supposedly defunct information awareness, the total information awareness program.
Yes.
TIA. Its symbol was the same symbol of the insinuating brethren of Adam Weishaupt's Bavarian Illuminist.
Oh yeah.
And that symbol of the all-seeing eye. Semiotically gesticulates towards the idea of a panoptic society.
Yes. Let me jump in here quickly. Paul, we'll let you continue that thought when we come back. Folks, another quick break. Bear with us. Only 3 minutes in the More Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. Our guests this evening, Philip Darrell Collins, Paul David Collins, authors of the book, The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. You can read some of their fascinating, captivating, and very enlightening articles at conspiracyarchive.com. In the commentary section, just look up their name, and I think we have links on our website. Welcome back, gentlemen, and thank you again. Paul, when we left off, you were sort of picking apart the Total Information Awareness logo.
Sure, yeah. The TIA logo, of course, was lifted from the Bavarian Illuminist, the all-seeing eye within the pyramid. That is basically semiotically communicating the theme of a panoptic society.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Weishaupt basically was getting this idea of panoptic control from the earlier Jesuit systems. He had been taught by the Jesuits, trained by the Jesuits, came to hate them, and basically wanted to use their own means and methods to destroy them. And the model colleges of the Jesuits employed what was called panopticism, and that panopticism is basically a method of hierarchical observation, and it's designed specifically for the maintenance of disciplinary power over one's subjects.
Mm.
And so that's basically what the symbol is semiotically gesticulating towards for whoever uses it, and mm-hmm. and that's what the TIA symbol is basically suggesting. That they're looking to set up a panoptic society here in the United States through that whole initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And another interesting thing to point out is that the individual that was heading up TIA was one John Poindexter. John Poindexter was part of the Iran-Contra fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that a lot of these Contragators have been brought back in by the neoconservatives into the administration right now because of their specialized knowledge in panopticism.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back into the early 80s, there was a scandal surrounding the Promise software, and another Contragator, Edwin Meese, he was in charge of the Department of Justice at the time, and basically he oversaw the stealing of Bill Hamilton's Promise software from him, and it looks like it was actually passed along to fellow Contragator Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North.
Mm-hmm.
And North was using it to basically follow dissidents and follow the dissenters. He had a command center where he tracked different troublemakers and whatnot, and it was basically part of a domestic emergency preparedness program that he was part of.
Mm-hmm.
And so these Contragators were brought back into this government because of their specialized knowledge in panopticism that was demonstrated through the Promise software scandal.
Wow. And obviously it continues. Robert Gates, just recently replacing Donald Rumsfeld, he was involved, of course, as were many others in this administration. It's very intriguing. Now, I'm of the mindset that it's not simply the Republicans who are doing this, but the Democrats as well. And I'm looking at the whole global warming fad and sort of what's going on with that. And if you've been paying attention, I know you gentlemen have, you've seen quite simply that they are doing quite a bit of surveillance in order to, at this point, it's merely shame people into, their carbon emissions, cutting those down and driving more sensible vehicles, taking the bicycle to work instead of the car, things like this. But at some level, when you start looking at the UN and their involvement with the whole thing, you do see that certainly there's going to be a taxing system, some sort of monetary punishment going towards people who violate whatever standards they decide to set in the name of saving the planet. So the Republicans, the neocons, or neo-Gnostics, I guess, have this agenda to sort of basically have us surrender any amount of freedoms or control that we may have, whether real or illusion. And the Democrats, and the Republicans do that by way of fear of terrorism. The Democrats do that for another reason, sort of like we are the stewards of the planet, and we have to implement these terrible measures because of the seriousness and the urgency of our current situation. Thoughts on that?
Well, you wanted to fill? Or?
Either way.
Yeah, you go right on ahead, bro.
Well, basically what you're dealing with there is you're dealing with just two factions of the power elite.
Yes.
It's like what you said. The means and the methods employed are a little bit different, but the ends are the same.
Yes.
The Democrats are basically following more of a script given by the neoliberals, and the neoliberals basically want world conquest through the international institutions, the World Bank, the IMF.
Yeah.
Basically, you replace the whole term of colony with the term debtor nation and enslave people that way, with the military acting as a third option kind of repo man for anybody that gets out of line. Whereas on the other side, you have the neocons basically writing the script for the Republicans right now, and they basically put military might at the forefront of their conquest and make it about just outright imperialism, where you basically go to and fro constructing an empire, and then that empire in turn folds into a one-world government situation. Mm-hmm. People have to start to understand that it's not necessarily a monolithic conspiracy so much as it is, a global oligarchical network that's based on the precepts of oligarchy and elitism, and basically exists for different elites to interface with one another and cooperate and collaborate with one another where their aims meet and consolidate their own power. But there is factionalism, and there is a fight and a feud going on between the different sides. One author that basically presented this situation accurately, I would say, is Carl Oglesby in his book, The Yankee and Cowboy War. He's shown that, you know, there's different sides to the power elite, and they don't always agree with one another.
Yeah.
The thing to understand is that no matter who wins, however, in that situation, we lose.
Yes,
absolutely. In fact, what we're dealing with right now, the administration is more so dominated by the cowboy faction.
Mm.
than it is the more gradualist Fabian socialist neoliberals, but really we're not too far in terms of, I mean, if you really want to talk in terms of the political left and the political right, which are almost virtually meaningless given the Hegelian environment that
yes.
we're now in, this dialectical manipulation, we're really talking about just different stripes of the same sort of, I guess, leftist socialist paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
The neoconservatives are essentially Trotskyist. Irving Kristol, who is considered the godfather of neoconservatism, wrote in his own autobiography, quote, "I regard myself lucky to have been a young Trotskyist, and I have not a single bitter memory," unquote. Now, the neoconservative concept of a global democratic revolution is basically the Trotskyist Fourth International's permanent revolution. And what these leftists have done is blend their Trotskyite beliefs with some Leo Straussian fascist additives, some technocratic beliefs, to form what Kleist G. Rintz has called a neo-Jacobinism or new Jacobinism. Now, the original Jacobins were Illuminist-bred revolutionaries who basically were instrumental in the bringing about of the French Revolution in 1789 and the later Jacobin dictatorship, when they basically purged the Jaredin cohorts out of their ranks and other competitors. But the French Revolution was an early attempt at a scientific dictatorship, and it was out of the French Revolution that you would basically have the overall model for every subsequent socialist revolution moving right into the 20th century, every communist revolution, every fascist revolution. And basically with the French Revolution and the Enlightenment movement that spawned it, you have there basically the beginning of the first contemporary neo-Gnostic crusade to, In the terms used by Eric Voegelin, emanatize the eschaton. And what do I mean by that? Emanatizing the eschaton basically means to take the eschaton, that is, the end of days, an mm-hmm. object of faith that, as Christians, we look to as something that by faith the Lord will initiate by a move of His own hand. They take that object of faith, the eschaton, the end of days, and they reconceptualize it as an object of immanent experience. They transplant it here within the ontological plane of the physical universe and make it a crusade that man has to initiate. Now, we're not talking about God bringing about the end of days. We're talking about the hand of man moving. And this has basically manifested itself in several different forms all throughout the 20th century, several different socio-political utopians who were basically neo-Gnostics, secular Gnostics, envisioned this eschaton within the ontological plane of the physical universe. Karl Marx, for instance, called it the workers' paradise. For Adolf Hitler, was the
thousand-year Reich.
Yeah, thousand-year Reich. For the neoconservatives now, it's this global democratic revolution.
And then on the other side, from Nancy Pelosi and her cohorts, it's the new order of the ages.
Yes, the new order of the ages. So basically, we're dealing with just variants of the same ideational camps, the same ideological continuum is at work. But it's people who are at variance, basically, over how to bring it about.
Sure.
So there's no master plan. There's master objective, but no master plan.
I see. Well, that's basically what I wanted to highlight, is that there is no difference, really. And it's very intriguing, too. One of my producers a while back had told me, he said, well, you know, some of the listeners are going to be pretty shocked when we have a Democratic president, meaning a Democrat, in office. And RBN is not going to go any easier on her. And I said, well, that's right. All of the ones who were just Bush haters alone will probably fall away. People need to understand that there is no difference here between the two camps. And you're right. It's the Hegelian philosophy of sort of pitting these two against each other. And I think it's also intriguing that you almost mentioned a sort of competitive nature within these camps, sort of like who will be the one that will achieve the overall objective? Who's actually going to hit the finish line first? We're both going the same direction, but, you know, ultimately who's going to win?
Absolutely. We're both rushing to the supermarket to get, you know, the same products, but it's whoever, you know, gets their foot on the pedal, puts their pedal to the metal the quickest to get there. And also the Hegelian dialectic, which this whole construct operates on a dialectical model that was developed by George Friedrich Hegel. That was all inspired, and George Friedrich Hegel himself was inspired by a Gnostic Kabbalist by the name of Christoph Oettinger. So again, you see the Gnostic strain of thought there, and this again leads us back to the ultimate real religion of the ruling class. I mean, you could call it secular humanism and everything. It comes out of the Enlightenment. It's old Enlightenment rationalism, but it's ultimately Gnosticism, and it's ultimately Luciferian. The old Enlightenment movement, the Enlightenment movement, which was just a time of prolific atheistic thought, still revered Lucifer as the symbol of man's own cognitive powers to realize his apotheosis. Diderot's Encyclopedia, which was basically the Bible of the Enlightenment, its pages were adorned with illustrations of Lucifer, along with many other Masonic symbols. So how is this possible? You have an atheistic movement that still reveres a symbol of a theistic belief system. Well, even though the Enlightenment and today's power elite don't probably think of Lucifer as a literal metaphysical entity, It remains religious in character. I'll explain why. The anti-theistic, anti-spiritual worldview, which is actually derivative of older occult religions, was developed and promoted to legitimize the eschatological vision of esoteric secret societies and socio-political utopians who were either members or products of secret societies. This is why the adherents of what James H. Billington called the Promethean faith pursued a radically secular society and simultaneously entertained a preoccupation with the occult. Secularization is merely a segue for a shift in religio-cultural thinking. The truth is that all worldviews are unavoidably religious. This is the case for two reasons. First, atheism is a philosophical impossibility. It only provides the philosophical segue for the enthronement of a new god. Malcolm Muggeridge astutely observed, when one has deposed God, someone must take his place. And secular humanism presents that new god with the anthropocentric dictum of Protagoras. Man is the measure of all things. Man becomes God. Thus, secular humanism is Luciferianism disseminated on the popular level. And second, all worldviews, I don't care what they are, communism, fascism, or if you move into the theistic realm with Judaism, Islam, Christianity, the traditional Abrahamic faiths, all worldviews must offer a core metaphysical claim, and metaphysical claims are the province of religion. For instance, Darwinian transformism, which was the edifying science of all modern scientific dictatorships, offered the metaphysical claim of self-creation, which is premised upon older occult concepts such as the Kabbalistic legend of the Golem being the Kabbalistic legend that about a man who a living man who was generated from non-living matter.
Wow.
And that that claim of self-creation from Darwinian transformism provided the legitimization for the Gnostic claim of self-salvation.
Let me jump in here, gentlemen.
Sure.
Another quick break. I can't believe that the first hour is almost over, folks. But here we are at the end of that, and, well, we will be when we come back from this quick break. Stay with us. Back in 3 minutes with our guests, Philip Collins and Paul Collins, and more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Will, and tail end now of hour number one, and it has just been a blur, an absolute blur, but a very, certainly a very enlightening one. Our guests this evening, Philip Darrell Collins, Paul David Collins, authors of the book, The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. Welcome back, folks, and when we left off, guys, we were discussing sort of how pretty much every philosophy is a religious philosophy in to some degree.
Absolutely. And again, that's because every philosophy, every worldview must offer some metaphysical claim. And the reason that atheism is a philosophical impossibility is because basically, in order to conclude with absolute certainty that there is no God, one must claim omniscience, because it would require, one would require omniscience to know that there is no transcendent God, there's no transcendent intelligence outside the ontological plane of the physical universe. So in order for one to claim infinite knowledge, one would have to be an infinite being, and therefore one would have to be God. And that's where atheism acted as kind of a philosophical segue for secular humanism, and secular humanism basically just being Luciferianism disseminated on the popular level under a different appellation. And that's what the Enlightenment was. The Enlightenment was the introduction of the old occult religions of Mesopotamia 6,000 years ago in Babylon and Egypt, that anthropocentric religion that exalted man above all things. It was basically the mystery religion, which was Luciferian in character. It basically took those occult beliefs and codified them as revolutionary doctrines, which became the revolutionary doctrines of all the subsequent contemporary sociopolitical utopian movements of the 20th century, be it communism, fascism, what have you, and neoconservatism. And that's why today, now with the neoliberals and the neoconservatives, Democrats, Republicans, the different currents that we see at ebbing and flowing throughout Washington and the locuses of power, they continue. They strive against one another, and yet at the same time strive to, towards the same thing, and that is emanatizing the eschaton, bringing the end of days here within the ontological plane of the physical universe, within the plane of history itself, and bringing about a heavenly, an earthly heaven by the work of man's hands, not by the work of God.
Yes, I think that's such an important point. And we're almost up to the legal identification that we have to go ahead and contend with, and there's the music, of course. When we come back, though, here in the second hour, I'd like to kick it off by maybe exploring that a little bit further in a number of levels. Of course, George Bush was given a timeline of end-time events by the Jack Van Impe Ministries. Certainly, we've seen the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, exploring the same sort of thing with the predicted return this spring of the 12th Imam, the Mahdi. And you can see a connectedness there. Folks, stay with us. We're back in about a minute. It's